Here we are in the Congressional Corner with the smartest guy I know about American politics, David Hawkins, who once was senior editor of CQ and Roll Call magazines and is now doing a news outlet, The Fulcrum, which is focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. Okay, so David, out came the Mueller report, old news already, and I want to combine that with the role of Representative Jerry Nadler. You know, I grew up watching Nadler. I think we're of similar ages. He may be a little bit younger. He's quite a fighter, isn't he?
He is. He is a very savvy player. He has been around. You and I both grew up watching Nadler, although from different perspectives. I was on the east side, looking across Central Park, watching. I love to watch super liberal west side politics unfold. He was in the state assembly. He's been around. You know, he defeated Donald Trump. He delivered one of the most crushing blows to Donald Trump in the history of his life, which was essentially using his seat on the New York State Assembly to stop Trump from building this massive development on the West Side. He's a very savvy fighter. He's very tactically adept. Yes, he's liberal, but he's more interested in winning.
Yes, and he's got the ability to take a certain amount of garbage. And if they come after him, as they are, for example, with my friend Richie Neal, and nobody on the west side of Manhattan's going to listen to that, that's for sure. But of course, there you were on the east side. And frankly, David, I have to say, the east side is not the same as the west side. You know, on your perch,
you guys were
continually electing, you know, what Mario Cuomo used to call another drugstore heir to office over there.
that was after my time. I had John Lindsay was my congressman as a kid, and then Ed Koch. But there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Attorney General Barr came up. I watched in his nomination hearings. You know, he sounded pretty good. Turns out he was not only lying, but he was disingenuous.
I would say that I've made a lot of mistakes. I've said a lot of things that turned out to be wrong in my career and on shows like this and to my colleagues. Saying that I thought Bill Barr would stick up for, you know, the rule of law and the Constitution, and he would be a solid AG is looking like not a good thing to have said. You know, the degree to which he has acted, I mean, this is, again, not an original thought, like the president's personal lawyer, not like the top lawyer for the United States government, has been pretty remarkable. I don't quite understand, you know, I mean, Barr was attorney general once before. He has a pretty long and relatively seriously good record on the Republican side of sort of being a solid player. Why he's doing this at this point in his career, I think, is going to be fascinating for the historians to try and figure out.
Just where I wanted to go, which is, don't these guys ever think of, okay, I'll be dead and gone, and they're going to be reading bad things about me forever?
You know, I do wonder that myself, and I ask that a lot of people that I talk with up on the Hill, and it sort of goes back to what we were talking about the last time, which is this sense of groupthink and team loyalty. And politicians, as I say, you know, these days tend to put allegiance to the team and, you know, put another way, loyalty to the tribe above all else. And, you know, yes, they're willing. You know, I said to a young member of Congress who he introduced me to his daughters once. They're like, you know, fifth grade and seventh grade, really smart kids. And the next time I saw him, I said, what are you going to tell your daughters about why you stuck up for Trump? And he said, well, you know, I'm hoping that I don't have to tell my daughters that I got drummed out of the Republican Party for being disloyal to Trump. And that would be more embarrassing to me. So there you go.
There you go. And let's, while we're on the subject of loyalty, disloyalty, let's go to Donald Jr., or as some people refer to him as Trump Jr. And
the bearded Trump. Now you can just call him the bearded Trump.
Yeah, every time they show a different picture of him, he either has a beard or not, so I'm not sure what he's got. I won't hold beards against him, although I must say, where I came from, you know, you had a beard, you had certain political credentials, which is very which is very tricky here. Okay, so he's finally agreed to testify before a Republican-led committee who have now allowed him to do it in secret and to call the shots, the terms of which questions he will answer and which he will not. You've watched a lot of hearings, closed and otherwise, you've heard about them. How do you get away with that?
So I think this is fascinating, and it does, of course, this is Richard Burr, who now is an exception proving the rule that we've just been talking about, which is Richard Burr, now that he's decided, senator from North Carolina, has decided, already announced that he's not running for re-election next time he's up, which is not until 2022. So he's somewhat liberated and has actually gone against Mitch McConnell, gone against the groupthink, the case-closed groupthink that's supposed to be the Senate Republican script of the month, and is continuing to press ahead. It does seem as though his agreement to let Donald Trump Jr. come testify is a little bit allowing him to wriggle off the hook. I've got to believe there's something more to it that we don't understand yet. I also know that Richard Burr has done everything that he's done. It's another unicorn thing is that Burr has done everything with his Russia investigation with rare bipartisan collaboration with Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia, who is the top Democrat on his committee. And I've got to believe that those two feel like they're still going to get what they need to get or are hoping to get out of Trump Jr.
Yeah. How do you tell the Democrats on that committee that there are questions they're not allowed to ask?
Well, there are, you know, this happens all the time, which I think you know, right? I mean, in litigation, in civil lawsuits, in criminal lawsuits, you know, that the initial request goes out from the prosecutor, I want everything and anything. And the initial response comes back, screw you totally, I'm not telling you a thing. And then they negotiate. So this is a negotiated agreement to get his testimony voluntarily. And as I say, presumably both sides think they got what they needed out of this negotiation. Young Trump thinks that he will be able to wriggle out of whatever the Senate Intelligence Committee thinks that they've got on him. And the Senate Intelligence Committee thinks that he won't.
Okay, McConnell. McConnell is, of course, one of the most important players in the United States now, has been for a long time. And as a Senate leader, you know, he's helped with the Supreme Court and everything else. But he doesn't seem to have any real ability to critique this president.
He doesn't. He seems to have made his peace with, I mean, Mitch McConnell wants to win. He's somewhat non-ideological. He's about winning, and he is about doing. He has succeeded. He's now become the longest-serving Republican Senate leader ever, longer than Bob Dole, and he has succeeded by being able to read the room super well. In other words, he understands what his Republican Senate colleagues want, and that is the strategy that he pursues. And so long as a critical mass of them, virtually all of them, with a handful of people that we can probably all name, the Olympia, starting with Olympia Snow, Lisa Murkowski, maybe Richard Burr, they all want what he's doing. If they change their mind, he'll change his mind. He is a leader who follows the lead of the people that he leads. So that's I think a somewhat misunderstood. People think that McConnell is this sort of ideological firebrand all on his own. I don't see him that way. I see him as somebody who is executing the wishes of the people who voted to put him in that job.
I'm sure you're right, but how he sleeps at night is beyond me. In any case, David Hawkins is the editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. David, we love having you on, and when we come back the next time when you're with us, I'm going to ask you about Joe Biden.
Looking forward to it.